You're up here.
Amanda, congratulations, and God bless you. And here's something from the church here, and a little gift there for you as well. And you just tell us a little bit of what's coming up.
All right, so I'm Amanda Eggleston, and I plan on attending Liberty to study special education.
Amen. Thank you. Come out of the way to the side.
Adam Livingston.
Congratulations, Adam. I've been there from the church. We've got a boy. You want a piece of meat? You got these days, don't you?
Not here.
I'm Adam Livingston, and I'm going to John Tyler for 2 years and transferring to George Mason and majoring in cybersecurity.
Amen.
Will Melton. Come on up, Will.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Church there.
Appreciate it. Hi, I'm Will Melton, and I'm going to be going to VCU for the next 4 years, and I'm going to be studying engineering.
Amen.
Haley Pennell, come on.
Congratulations.
I'm Haley, and I'm going to be going to John Tyler for 2 years and transferring to either Bob Jones or Liberty, and I'm going to major in nursing.
Elizabeth Watson.
I'm Elizabeth Watson, and I'm going to Bridgewater College, and I'm majoring in Family and Consumer Sciences.
Holly Woodward.
I'm Holly Woodward, and I'll be going to Pensacola Christian College and majoring in professional writing and leaving on Thursday to work there over the summer.
She'll be working there over the summer, so. Don't miss her being around here. All right, our college graduates. Lisa, if you'll come on up, please. Lisa Blackwell. Congratulations.
Well, I'm Lisa. And I just graduated from Pensacola Christian College with a bachelor's in medical office administration, and I'm looking for a job.
All right, we're glad to have her back from Bolivia, a missions trip there. Just got back this past week, and praise the Lord that went smoothly, and she was a good help there. All right, Cindy Talago, if you'll come on up, please.
I'm Cindy Talago, and my master's was in accounting, and I'll be working for an accounting firm in Northern Virginia.
Amen.
Northern Virginia.
You're going to have to pray about that.
Trevor Wills, come on, please.
Hi guys, I know y'all haven't seen me in a while, but here I am. I just graduated from VCU in December, this past December, currently looking for a job as well. It's been really hard, so once you get out of college, just like search as hard as you can, because it's really hard to find something. I think anybody can attest to that. But I will actually be interning at this ad agency called Barbara Martin Agency. I will be their art director intern, so hopefully that'll either lead into a job, or by that time, or by the end of that, I will find something else. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing with my life right now.
All right.
It's called Jesus Saves. The choir did it a number of years ago at VAIB, and it's just amazing. If you listen to the lyrics, how the truth is still there, but it's even more crystal today. Please listen to the words, Jesus Saves.
Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept.
Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me, lest I forget.
Forget, lead us to Calvary.
Amen.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel 2. We have chose today to honor our high school and college grads. And may I say, by the way, a thank you to Deborah Eccleston for putting together that PowerPoint presentation for us with the graduates. I thought that was very well done. But we have taken today to honor our high school and college graduates. We just finished observing Memorial Day this past week, and remembering those that have died in securing and maintaining our freedoms that we enjoy. And I didn't see that there. At the tomb of the unknown soldier, the following words are inscribed. Here rest in honored glory an American soldier known but to God. If America remembers her unknown soldiers, think of the celebration that will take place as God's servants enter into His presence. Some of us that may be unknown to so many in the responsibilities that we carried out, the services in which we rendered, and yet God is always faithful to reward, as I remind you, His words to those of His faithful servants, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we know that is coming, and we know that that God certainly rewards His faithful servants. God gives us a principle here in 1 Samuel 2:30 that speaks not so much about us honoring others and us being honored of others, but how can we best honor God? And notice what it says here in verse 30. He says there, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for here's the principle. Them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." They that honor me, I will honor, God says. I've entitled the message this morning, Them That Honor Me. And I want us to consider what it means in our lives today to properly honor God the way that we should. Father, I pray, in the time that we have left here, that You would allow us through Your Word to understand how serious that You take our responding to You and honoring You and what it means for us to do that. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to live by this principle, especially as we think of it in so much of our lives that it comes into play, that whether we are a graduate this morning or whether we're just a believer that is here that graduated many years ago, Lord, I pray that we would all seek to honor You with our lives And Father, we know that if we do the proper honoring on our side, you are faithful and just to honor us as you have promised. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us this principle. And I pray that not for the possibility of our being honored, but Lord, out of our own love for you and because you deserve it, that you would receive all the honor, all the glory, and it would come from us properly. We ask now that you'd guide us through it. Help us to have surrendered hearts to it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to look here and understand the background of what's going on first. This is a dark time in Israel's history. The last words in the book of Judges was that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's during this time that we are introduced to a childless wife named Hannah. And Hannah was in the tabernacle there in Shiloh, and she was praying, and she's overheard by Eli the priest. She's praying for a child because she has been barren. And Eli prophetically tells her that her prayer is going to be answered by God. In Hannah's prayer, she promises God that if God will grant her a son, that he will return, she will return this child unto him to serve him in his life. It is through this background that we consider the following aspects about honoring God, what it means. The first thing that we see is, what is honor? How can we possibly honor God if we don't understand what that means and what it is to honor God? The word honor is to give weight to. And it has to do, speaking about giving weight to one's words that is spoken unto you, or one's desire that you have, or that a person has there. And as we apply it to God, it would mean that God's words and God's desires are important to us. It is something that we judge as being of great value. And therefore, we listen to what God says. We're interested in learning of what His desires are so that we can please Him, etc. there. Apply it here to 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30 and the principle there. Them that honor me, those that hold my words and my desires up as being important and something to be sought after to please, them will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So let's understand the second part of that verse there in this principle that God gives. To honor God means that we are to ascribe value, to we are judged as important there. And to despise Him, the word there, it's translated, means to judge as unimportant. It means there to disregard and not listen to. In the New Testament, we have a similar word that's used by Jesus in Matthew 6:24, where He says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and hold to the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." The word despise there means to disregard, to judge as unimportant, not to want to follow after. In other words, as he went on to say, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon, whatever that is there, whether it's money or the establishment of society or just the other thing. You can't serve God and whatever you want to fill in the blank there. And many times it's and self. Self-desires. And so we need to understand the principle that is there, but most of all understand the word that is used there when he says those that despise me or those that judge me as unimportant, that disregard what I have to say. Now, I could ask the question this morning, and I do to you right now, if you're here today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, would you join me and say that we judge what God has to say as very important? That we judge what God's desires are to be that which is most important to us? I think as believers, we would say that to be true. That was a little weak, but I think you know what's coming. Just saying it don't make it so. We can say it with our lips, but we may not show it with our lives. And so he says there that those that despise me, not just with their words, but with their life there, that disregard and live as if I'm not important, etc. there, I will lightly esteem them. The word there translated as lightly esteemed there is to mean to make light of or to judge as insignificant, or the idea carries with it there a judgment from God that He is going to bring. So therefore, we could read back into that principle, them that honor me, God says, those that judge what I say and feel as being important, I will honor, I will hold as important to me, God says. And they that despise me, those that judge me as being unimportant there, what I have to say, they don't want to listen to and respect my wishes, they shall be lightly esteemed by me. I will discount them as worthless, deserving of my judgment. And so God gives us this principle here. Those that honor me, I will honor. Those that disregard me there, I am going to judge. And we need to recognize how God works and how God honors in that particular principle. Now note, our giving honor to God, ascribing value to Him there and judging as important, as I mentioned a moment ago, is not just with words. Matthew 15 and verse 8, Jesus spoke about this specifically. He says about the Pharisees and so forth there. He said, "These people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." They said that these people honor me with their lips. They say, as I asked the question there, yes, we think God is important. We think His words are important. But their heart was far from God. Jesus knew their heart. Because Jesus knows your heart today as well. How would He judge your heart today? Not your words, but how does He judge your heart? You see, it's out of our heart that all of the other things of our life extend. Our heart tempers our words. Our heart has our attitudes. Our heart has our actions that follow. God knows our heart. He wants us to honor Him, not just with our words, but to honor Him with our heart. So the second thing that we come to then is, how do we honor God? Well, as I said, more than just words there. Number one, it is honoring God involves presenting our best unto Him. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, put back a page there. Hannah is a good example. In verses 27 and 28, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of Him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord." And he, speaking of Samuel, as a young child, there worshiped the Lord there. And we have in this passage here, first, Hannah knew that what she had offered to the Lord there was only what the Lord had already given unto her. Did you catch that? What she was offering unto the Lord was only what the Lord had already given unto her. That's a recognition of stewardship. Do you know with us today that there's nothing that you have that God has not given you? Some people look and say, "Well, you know, I've worked for everything that I've got, and I've really put in the hours, and I've done this and this." Well, you didn't even know that you had the health that you have and the ability you have, that God gave you that. God has given you the ability to be able to get wealth. God has given you the ability to be able to work. God has given you the health that you have, etc. there. So everything that we have, we can recognize, comes from God. And with that, then, as a believer, we are then stewards of that which God has entrusted us with. And so we recognize that even whether it is our tithe or whether it is our talent, our ability, whether it is our time that we give unto the Lord, all of that is only that which He has given unto us to begin with. And we are to be rightful stewards, faithful stewards of what God has given. That's the first thing we see in illustrated by Hannah. Secondly, Hannah understood that lent meant to give unto the Lord there, and therefore to make available unto Him. She was making available her child to the Lord there. "You can have him." And at a very young age, she left him, her and her husband left this child, Samuel, with Eli the priest, and he began to serve and to worship there together of the Lord in the tabernacle. That's a hard thing to do, I think, for me as a parent thinking about that. And well, I could talk about that for a while, but we ain't got time. But But just think about some of that difficulty that is there. But she understood that God had given this child unto her, and she was willing to give this child back unto the Lord there. Meant to make it available unto the Lord. So I ask you the question, graduate, could I ask you this question? Whatever you have, is it available unto the Lord? Whatever you have, is it available to your Lord? Is it your plans, your friends, your talents? Whatever it is it available to the Lord? Us past graduates, the rest of us, and future graduates, for some of us out there, the same question. Is what we have, what God has given us, have we made it available unto the Lord? Our plans, our talent, our possessions, does that belong to the Lord? Have we given that unto Him? Whatever we have, honoring God involves presenting our best to Him. We sing a hymn sometimes, give of your best to the Master. And that's what we should do. We ought to give unto the Lord. It's part of our honoring unto Him. Secondly, honoring God involves keeping Him as the one that we want to please. As I mentioned there in the end of verse of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel there, that last part of verse 28 when it says he worshiped the Lord there, he is talking about this young child Samuel worshiped the Lord. In chapter 2 and verse 11, Elkanah, his dad and his mom also there, it indicates, would be the indication there, went to Ramah, to his house there. They went back to their house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Samuel stayed there at the tabernacle and ministered before the Lord there, before Eli the priest, and served the Lord and worshiped Him there and gave him his life there unto the Lord to please Him. Now, with that, then, we see Samuel's focus. His desire was to worship, to serve, and therefore to please God continually. I want you to finish this. A couple statements here, and it's real easy, okay? Here's the test. You can't do what... All right, I've taught y'all that, and I've taught y'all that, and taught y'all that. Very similar to it is this statement. You can't please God if you don't know what pleases Him. All right, you follow me there. You can't do what you don't know. If you don't know the Word of God, how can you obey it? You can't please God if you don't know what pleases Him. So we've got to know the Word of God. We've got to come where we are understanding who God is and what is making Him pleased in this world, and can we please the Lord there. If we're to honor God properly, then pleasing Him is most importantly there. And there's two things that are necessary. If you want to flip over with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, while you're turning there, at Christmas and birthdays and so forth, how do Vicki and I know what to get our grandkids for Christmas, etc.? Well, since they don't live real close to us, most of them, we don't get to really see what goes on in their day-to-day life. And so we ask their mom. And she knows them pretty good. She knows what they're into. She knows what they're excited about, what pushes their buttons, etc. And so we can find out there. The point is, there's somebody that knows what that is, okay? As I mentioned there, in a similar way, how do we know what pleases the one that you love? Husbands, how do you know how to please your wife? We're told right here, look in 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 7. He speaks here in the background or context here. He's talking to wives and to husbands. And he says to husbands here, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that is your wife, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Now, I want you to understand, when it says that we're to dwell with our wife according to knowledge, that is, we are to grow in our knowledge of what she is and who she is, what she likes, etc., so that we can please her. You know, it's not like, you know, I know that what pleases my wife is when she knows I'm happy. So for Christmas, I'm going to buy me a set of new golf clubs because I know she wants me to be happy. You know, that's ridiculous, right? I'm not saying that getting into golf clubs is wrong, but I'm just saying you don't do it. But some people face God that way. Some people look and they say, you know, I know that God wants me to be happy, and I know that doing this will make me happy, so I know that God wants me to do this and be happy. That's ridiculous. Now, God may want us to be happy, and God wants us to feel the desires of our heart, but not the carnality of it, etc. We've got to get to know a little bit about what God is saying and what God is meaning and what God wants to do. Now, we need to learn our spouse. We need to learn our children. But more important, we need to learn our God. We need to know what pleases Him. And notice how also there's a connection there between desiring to please our wife in verse 7 there, getting to know her better, and giving honor unto the wife. That's what we're talking about here, honoring God. And so part of that is in pleasing God. Part of that then is tied to getting to know Him better. Secondly, we must desire to honor God. We must decide to honor God, and then we must simply do those things that honor God. You know, not just desiring is enough. Not just deciding, I've decided to follow Jesus, that's wonderful. But when you walk out the door, what are you going to do is the question. It's our actions, as I said, that speak so much louder than our words. It's the following through that is more important than just the intent, the desire. So we must do those things that please Him. Remember, there's two choices on the shelf, as Ken Collier once said, pleasing God or a pleasing self. And it is that choice that we must make. And pleasing God is a choice. And you have that choice today. What is going to be your choice? Because Samuel valued the wisdom, the ways, and the words of God, God honored him. Back over in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and in verse 19, it says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him." That's a great thing to have. "And he did let none of his words fall to the ground." In other words, as God spoke, he didn't disregard anything that God said, but he listened to everything and he followed it. And that would be the testimony I hope that we would want to have as well. That when people think of our lives, that they would say that we loved our Lord and showed it because we obeyed Him. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Don't just say it, but do it. You see, Isaiah 55, verse 7 through 9, gives us some good advice and good information to whether we are a graduate, whether we're a believer, asking ourselves the question there, do we honor God with our actions, and not just with our words? He says that there in verse 7 through 9, he says, verse 7 first, he says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts forsake them there, and let him return unto the Lord." That means to turn to believe God, to trust Him only there. "And He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and He will abundantly pardon." As we evaluate, as you evaluate this morning, and look and ask the question, have I been honoring God with my life? As I sit here this morning and God looks at my heart, does He see someone that has a heart to honor and please Him? Or am I all about pleasing myself? Doing those things that I think would only make me happy. If we have not been honoring God, then God says there, let us return unto the Lord. And He will abundantly pardon. He wants to. Verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." We need to understand this, that what you may naturally think, what you may naturally feel, what you may naturally desire and want, is not necessarily the good thing. Our nature wants many things that are not pleasing unto the Lord. And our natural understanding is not always what's in line with God's Word. That's why we're told in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto what? Your own understanding. Don't lean on that because it can lead you astray. But God in His Word will never lead you astray. He is always faithful. And then in Isaiah 55, verse 9, he says, therefore, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Has God prompted you to return unto Him today? Don't push that aside. Don't disregard His Word or His desires. But honor the Lord. Take what He says as serious and show it by leaving out of here today and doing it. That's how we honor God with our lives. Those who honor God, those who honor me, God says, I will honor. Every head bow, please. You've heard the message this morning. I pray that you have listened carefully and not disregarded the truth. But the choice now is up to you. What will you do? What will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? What will you do with His Word? Not just for this week, but what will you do in your life in the time that you have left? Are you willing to dedicate that today unto Him? Hannah said, I have lent him unto the Lord. I've given. Will you give of your best to the Master? Father, I pray that as we evaluate, that you would not allow us in any way to dismiss these thoughts. Lord, if we are not inclined to do them right now, Lord, may you wrestle with our heart and mind continually. Father, I thank you that you are a God worthy of all honor. And may we seek by our life to exemplify one who desires to please you in all that we do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.